I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome once again to the Pedestrian Podcast, still the only unofficial UK Seahawks podcast. This week, it's just myself as Adam and Ross are out getting some Regenikine treatment, but I won't be alone for long as we have some NFC West rivalry guests in to preview the 2017 season four, the NFC West. With the season just over a week away, it's time for a preview of sorts here on the Pedestrian Podcast. For this, though, we have called on some guests from the NFL UK universe. First up, we have called on the guest making his second appearance on the Pedestrian Podcast. It's Mr. Mark Payne from the Pigskin Podcast. How are we, sir?
I'm very well, thanks.
How's your off-season been?
Well, having had such a terrible pair of off-seasons back-to-back, it feels nice to have a bit of optimism around the team for once.
Yeah.
So, we needed a new broom. I think a lot of 49ers fans, I'm sure I said this last time, have been waiting for the day that we got rid of Trent Baalke for a couple of years now, and to finally have a new GM in who's coming with fresh ideas, it's just been a massive relief, and the team look much better for it.
Yeah, there's been a sense of weird optimism around the Niners, as you say, which is completely night and day to what come before. Also on the podcast, representing the Arizona Cardinals is Tom Donlan, the British Bird Gang on Twitter. How are we, sir?
Yeah, I'm not too bad.
How's your off season been?
It's been good so far. No one's got any season-ending injuries, so I'd say that's a win.
Yeah, and Carson Palmer is currently standing upright as well, so that's a big win for the Cardinals.
It is for now, we'll take it.
And also representing the Rams, and just a peek behind the curtain, it's very hard to find a Rams fan in the UK, so just ask one of my mates. Dave Turn, how are we, sir?
Not bad, thanks.
How's your off-season been?
Been another year of change. We've got some optimism in McVay coming in to replace Fisher, so we've always got something to look forward to.
Yeah, and you're going to spend the next 40 minutes or so defending Jared Goff, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, that's my plan.
So, yeah, what we'll do here, we'll just go around the horn, give you each a chance to talk about your team's draft, free agency, and outlook for the 2017 season. The floor is also open to if any of you guys have any questions to ask one of the other chaps, but we will start this NFC West roundtable with the team in 2016 who were the Seahawks' closest rivals in the division, the Cardinals. Tom, how was the free agency for the Cardinals this year?
Well, we lost big players like Calais Campbell, Tony Jefferson, DJ Swearinger. They all went elsewhere, and we've replaced them with old guys like Antoine Buffet, Carlos Dansby, and Phil Dawson.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit of a dad's army thing going on in Arizona.
Yeah, because really, one of the things the Cardinals couldn't really get was older, but they seem to have managed it, didn't they?
Well, we've managed it, and, you know, we've got a 37-year-old quarterback, so there's not everyone else really old.
Yeah, and Fitzgerald's about 60 at this point, isn't he?
It'll feel like it, probably, by the end of the season.
Yeah, and obviously then on to the draft. The Cardinals did come away from the draft with two of my favourites heading into it, Hassan Reddick and obviously University of Washington's Buda Baker. The latter is really annoying that you've got someone who's so, so good for the Huskies off years. What's the early read on the class through the offseason, obviously the first few games of preseason?
Well, for the first preseason, Buda Baker's looked really good, which is surprising considering he was late joining up due to the schedule at Washington.
Yeah, that's the same with obviously all of them. Sidney Jones as well. Obviously, his was more injury related though. So, is Reddick going to be someone who's going to start this year, or?
I think he'll contribute this year. It'll be like having two Tyrann Mathews on the defense, which is good.
Yeah,
as long as they stay healthy.
Yeah, is there anyone else from the draft who's caught your attention, or has caught Cardinal fans' attention?
You're looking forward to see Hassan Reddick and Deion Buchanan together in the middle of the defense before too long.
Yeah,
when Buchanan's like back from injury.
Yeah, and obviously a lot does depend
on Carson Palmer. There doesn't appear to be a succession plan in place. Is that something of a worry for you?
It's always a worry, really, because if he goes down, we've got Drew Stanton, and no one wants Drew Stanton. So
no, but there was rumour that there was interest in Patrick Mahomes, who obviously the Chiefs come up and got coming up in front of you and took him. Is it something that you think they're just going to hope for the best in the what looks a pretty good QB class next year?
Yeah, I hope so, because like, we might not be able to pick one at 32, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just have to get lucky, won't we?
Yeah. So how long do you think Carson Palmer's got left?
I'd be surprised if he's back for next year, to be honest.
Yeah? Is that the same with Fitzgerald as well, do you think? Or is he just going to
keep going? I think this could be both of their last years, which will be a bit of a shame.
Yeah, so outside of who wide receiver, who's the guy who's looking to go see? Michael Floyd was quickly ran out of town last year. Is it the Browns, or is it all on David Johnson on the offense outside of those two?
I'd say it's pretty much all on David Johnson.
Yeah.
Especially if Carson Palmer gets injured again.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously he's the almost universal number one pick in the fantasy world as well, isn't he, at that point? So the little that obviously plays into Cardinal season is something to know. Defensively, it's Peterson, Honey Badger, and Calais Campbell, no more in Arizona. Is that, are they the two, four players in the defense?
Well, they're the two standouts really on defense. I mean, we lost Campbell, as I said before. So basically, we just got to get by with that on the defensive line.
Yeah.
And hopefully, Robert Kimdichie becomes a good player.
Yeah, or is actually a real person at this point. He barely was active, was he, through his rookie year?
He struggled in his first year, but he's been looking good in preseason. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
So how do you see the 2017 season going, Tom?
I was on another podcast the other week and I gave us an 11-5 record. So I think I'll stick with that. It should be good enough for playoffs in the NFC.
11-5, that's bold. Mark, Dave, any questions, Cardinal queries you got for Tom?
I mean, I think you've got a nice upgrade at kicker, even though, you know, he is like 107. Sorry to see Phil Dawson go. He's one of the most reliable kickers in the league. But do you think you've got a replacement for Calais Campbell already in the side, or are you just hoping to just get the best out of your unit and, you know, the back end pick it up?
Yeah, pretty much the latter, I think, yeah. Hopefully Kimdichie comes in that, like, just basically comes to the Calais Campbell of the defensive line, and then the likes of Josh Morrow, Corey Peters, Rodney Gunter, and all that lot, they contribute in their ways.
Yeah.
Probably for the best, really.
Yeah. Dave, anything for the Cardinals?
So you reckon 11-5. So what if Palmer goes down? What do you reckon your record will be then?
It depends when he goes down, really. If he goes down week one, we could be anything, really. Could be like 5-11, the opposite. If he goes down halfway through the season, maybe 8-8 if we're lucky.
So it hinges on Palmer staying healthy then. So
see, what you've done there is you've made a misstep. What you want to do is you want to get three really average quarterbacks on your roster. Then if they go down, you've got another one lined up behind them.
We've got Drew Stanton and Blaine Gabbert, so I think they're average now.
Blaine Gabbert,
true.
Next up is the Seahawks' kryptonite in recent years. Without the meme-worthy head coach that was Jeff Fisher anymore in 2017, which is both a relief and very disappointing. Past the sadness, though, how's the off-season been for them? Dave, free agency, was it an active one?
Trust me, it's a relief to get rid of it. Free agency. As for free agency, I think we upgraded in free agency with the addition of Whitworth and Sullivan on the offensive line.
Yeah.
We didn't really lose too much. The two key notables were Kenny Britt and Lance Kendricks, but I think we've replaced them with better talent. So hopefully going forward, we got a stronger roster this year than we did last year. So
yeah. So there was quite a bit of investment. Obviously, Whitworth was a massive contract. Was that something that was needed or a surprise after last few years?
It was definitely needed. He's an upgrade on Greg Robinson, so that's not exactly an glowing endorsement. But his age is a concern. He's 35 now, so he's always on the back end of his career, but hopefully he can hold up for the next few years and protect Goff.
Yeah, and obviously the possibly the biggest change in Los Angeles for the Rams was the new coach. He's somewhat of an offensive genius, is possibly a strong word, but he did quite well with Kirk Cousins and all that in Washington. Is any early results showing for the work he's going to have to put in with Jared Goff? Is anything early showing up?
I'm optimistic. It's still preseason, but overall his preseason has been a lot better than he showed last year in the regular season. He struggled a bit in the third game, but if you go back to the week two against Oakland, he was really good. He looked very promising.
Yeah.
So there's going to be lots of ups and downs with Goff. So he's basically still a rookie. I mean, playing half a year under Fisher, he probably regress more than progress. So
yeah, and as we're showing in All or Nothing, he didn't exactly break the world with a celebration when he was cold. He was the starting quarterback. Also, the other coach who's come into the Rams is Wade Phillips. Obviously, Aaron Donald doesn't seem to want to work with him, but when he does finally turn up and work with him, that could be a scary proposition for the rest of the NFC West, wouldn't it? Because obviously Aaron Donald's a top.
You say when, I'm beginning to get a little bit concerned if it is actually when and not if, because it's lasting a lot longer than everyone thought it would. So at this stage, it looks like he'll be missing week one. He won't be ready against the Colts, even if he did sign up today. So
it's
amazing.
So obviously after free agency came the draft. It was a bit of a quieter weekend than some other teams. After you spunked it all on quite a poor looking quarterback the year prior, is that accurate, Dave?
Thus far, probably fair, but there's always room for. He's a young kid. He's now under an offensive minded coach. I mean, he took Kirk Cousins, who was essentially a backup in the league, to what is going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
There's
always hope.
Yeah, and obviously Mark is always on the Pigskin podcast with the biggest Cal Bear fan in the UK, and James. was the Goff impact or lack thereof, was that a surprise to James and yourself?
Well, to me, I mean, I don't spend an awful lot of time invested in college football, and I'm planning on doing it a bit more this year, but I can't tell you all the way through the season prior to the draft how much I had, you know, Jared Goff talk in my ear through WhatsApp, you know, on the show. I had to keep shutting him up talking about him. And then, you know, he had this really disappointing season and it sort of dropped off. But I think James, towards the end of last year, was sort of buying into the theory that maybe he wasn't going to be the thought he was. But I'm starting to see signs that maybe he'll turn it around, and I think he's in the right system with the right head coach now. I think you could see a different Jared Goff this year.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If you put many rookie quarterbacks in the situation Goff was in last year, 99% of them would struggle. He was playing for a defensive minded coach behind a poor O-line with no one to throw to. He didn't really have a chance. This year he's got a bit more of a stronger line. He's got weapons in Watkins. We can hopefully get the running game back going with Gurley, so we'll have more time to throw, hopefully. So
yeah, I mean, the pressure up the middle was killing him, and I don't think any quarterback is particularly good when there's pressure coming right down their throat.
No, exactly.
So in Seattle, we have pushed all offseason on the last few podcasts as well when talking about the O-line with George Fant, although he's now injured, and Jermaine Ifedi, something like a second-year bounce. So that is something you expect to see from Goff with the new coach and new system and everything.
Well, it can't get any worse. Like I say, he's now got weapons on the outside of him, so that should open up lanes to Gurley, which will then give him more time to throw. So it should be a win-win all over on offense. And McVay, from what I've seen through the preseason and the little clips that I've seen of his Washington Redskins offense, I'm liking what I'm seeing. So,
yeah. So obviously, as everyone has always wanted, the Rams went out and got the apple of everyone's eye and recreated the Buffalo Bills wide receiver core from last year, as Adam put it. The Sammy Watkins trade, were you surprised they went for Watkins? And how do you see him fitting in to the offense in.
I was very surprised that it actually happened, but looking at the details, it was a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
Because what we gave up, it was a second round and EJ Gaines. Gaines was projected to be a backup anyway. And we got a sixth round and a potential number one wide receiver. We've not had that since Torrey Holt or Isaac Bruce. So it was something we desperately needed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's injury concerns with Watkins, and he's only on a one-year contract. If he doesn't work out this year, if he gets injured, let him walk in free agency. We'll then probably get a third-round pick back in conversation. So all we'll end up really doing is losing a second for a third and potentially getting our number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
So to me, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and obviously with that, and obviously you did draft Cooper Kupp as well as signing Robert Woods. How worthless is Tavon Austin in Los Angeles right now?
They keep on trying to tell us he will be part of an offense.
Yeah, but which one?
Who knows? I would like to see him succeed. He's getting paid far too much. But at this point, his money is guaranteed for this year, so we may as well keep him around for this year, see if he does offer anything. If he doesn't, then I would be very surprised if he's on the roster next year.
Could I just say that Cooper Kupp and Tavon Austin have been my two... I don't really get wide receiver draft crushes, and they've been my two. And you managed to nick both of them, which is really annoying. But I think Tavon Austin will fit in someone's system. I just think he's probably got... This is the best chance he's got. Sean McVay's system does open up that for him.
That's the thing. Tavon's always only underplayed and played under Jeff Fisher. Fisher does not know what he's doing on offense. So you give Fisher someone like Tavon Austin, he just runs the same play over and over again. Defensive know how to play that play. So hopefully McVay's got something new for him, something teams haven't seen yet, to utilize his potential.
Yeah. So obviously Aaron Donald's absence and how long that goes, as you say, will tell a lot. But what's the outlook like on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams?
It's hard to tell because obviously we switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4. So the players are adjusting to a new scheme. So we're moving players like Quinn from DN to outside linebacker. And he's not even played a single snap of preseason. So how that will fare up, we'll not know. It's like week 3 preseason. It's normally sort of the dress rehearsal. We had two starters playing on defense. So no one at this point knows what the Rams defense is going to be like next year or this year even, sorry. So it's a big question mark. Obviously missing Donald is a big, big problem. But you've also got question marks at other positions. You've got Mark Barron playing inside linebacker. We don't know how that's going to work. We've got questions in the secondary. So there's lots of questions, but Wade Phillips has proven himself to be a very good defensive coordinator, so there's always optimism on that side.
Yeah, so what is your 2017 prediction for the Rams?
It could either go horribly wrong, or it could be very surprising.
Yeah.
I would say 6-10 conservatively.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so, we played the Niners twice. Yeah.
So just,
I'll have you know that because we beat you twice last year, we lost the number one overall pick and we shot at Myles Garrett. So.
Yeah, but we don't play you week one, so you ain't got a whole year to prepare for us this time.
That's very true. We only win week one.
So just a quick peek, to break the fourth wall down a bit. I think when Dave was first getting into the sport, myself and his brother also already had the Seahawks and 49ers. Swallowed up. So he had the choice of the Cardinals and the Rams, chose the Rams, and then the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's not had the best of runs, have you, David?
I've been following the sport for a fair few years now. I've probably seen us win about 20 times. That's how bad it's been. So,
yeah. Yeah. Mark, how many Rams questions, queries?
I'm sure there was one that I had there.
Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, what about Twickenham? How do you think that'll end up for the Rams?
Against the Cardinals, it's going to be a tough game. honestly, I see the Cardinals coming out on top. But as long as we play them hard, play them close, I'll be happy. That's all I'm expecting from this season. I just want to see an improvement from last year. So anything to build on for next year.
Yeah. So wasn't the stat that there was more touchdowns in the Rose Bowl game between USC and Penn State than the Rams scored at home last season at the Safe Stadium? Was that what the stat was last year?
I'm pretty sure at one point when we were playing the Falcons at LA,
yeah,
they had scored more than us in one game than we had in about five. So,
well,
I mean, they did hammer us, but that's still it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was funny though. But apart from when you beat us in week two, but yeah, moving on now, this is the team I think that might be better than we all possibly expected as the season ended last year. It's the 49ers. Mark, is that something you see coming through? Is that the Shanahan effect?
I've been through some bad times with the 49ers. I've been supporting them since about 2005. So, I mean, I've had more down seasons than up. And last year was the worst that I can remember. I it was dreadful. There was no redeeming factors. I can remember... I've always sort of thought you should play hard right to the end of the season and support that even as a fan. But I can remember going into, you know, the game against the Jets when it was going to overtime and just being, please don't win. I just can't bear the foot. And, you know, and when we beat the Rams again, it was great. We've just lost the number one overall pick. But, you know, I think they did everything right in the offseason. They picked the best coach on the table, I thought, that was available. You know, everyone wanted Kyle Shanahan, Super Bowl side. John Lynch surprised me. I wasn't so sure, but so, you know, the reaction to his changes and the changes he's brought in has been really, it's been a massive improvement. I can't tell you how happy I am to look at the roster now and not see, you know, the same sort of five named Michael Wilhoit appearing on the list, which just made me want to tear my own eyes out. Although he hasn't completely managed to get rid of Shane Scove, but you know, it's slow improvement. And what he's done so well is he's brought in competitors in every position, not flashy free agent signings. You know, he's picked up well in undrafted rookie free agents, and we've got competition at every position. Granted, we don't have a great deal of depth, but you know, after one year, one off season, I think they've done very well.
Yeah. So how have those thoughts changed? So what is it, just the approach to everything that's come through the off season that has changed your thoughts on the two hires then that you made?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was always quite keen on both of them. Well, yeah. Keen on Shanahan, but the working relationship that they've got is something that we've not had for a while. I mean, Trent Baalke seems like quite a poisonous man to be around. He seems to annoy every head coach he works with, and you know, some more visibly than others.
Yeah.
If you look through the roster that we've got and compare it to the one last year, I mean, it just simple free agent pickups. You know, he's picked up Elvis Dumervil, who's had a, you know, proven pass rusher. Granted, he's getting on in years, but that's a sort of talented player that we haven't had on the roster. He's a leader as well. Something that, you know, last year we were a team packed full of youth, very limited experience on the field, and then he's also put competition in, and he's value player. This is, I know, a hallmark of the Seahawks, where every player is valued according to their performance on the training field and on the field of play, rather than, you know, their expectations or their reputation. And you know, the fact that we shipped off Vance McDonald, who was a high draft pick, and he's likely to be replaced by George Kittle, who was a sort of, you know, also ran in the draft process, and you know, he's holding off the likes of Logan Paulson and you know, Garrett Celek, who's been there for quite a few years. Yeah. Not big flashy players, but they've performed well in the preseason and they've got their reward.
Yeah, like, do your job kind of thing. Obviously, the Patriots is kind of what comes to the fore with those decisions. Yeah, so just quickly touched on free agency. With the draft, George Kittle, obviously, you're just you traded back with the Bears, who made the weird trade for Trubisky. And then
I think we won the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the top three are absolute studs. I don't know how they're doing through preseason, but Solomon Thomas, it could be in line, could be possibly one of the favourites for rookie of the year if he works out. Reuben Foster, obviously, with all the Alabama, but also has the knee concerns, which doesn't seem to be bothering him early on in preseason. Keller Witherspoon was one of my favourite cornerbacks, and someone I wanted to see up to draft was the third pick. So out of those three, who's the one who stood out early doors in preseason?
I mean, without a doubt, it's Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster was the guy early in the draft process I wanted the 49ers to draft at two. Then he had that weird sort of medical tantrum, and you know, in the combine, and he started to fall down draft boards, and then he started, you know, looking at the safeties that were high up on the boards for, you know, potential places for the 49ers to go. And I was never that keen on Solomon Thomas, I must admit. And so I was slightly depressed at the prospect that we were either going to blow a pick on a quarterback that I didn't rate, or a Solomon Thomas who I wasn't very sure on. And then in the end, we managed to get our two top guys off the board in the first round, which is extraordinary.
Yeah, and obviously quite annoying that you took Reuben Foster and we took Malik McDowell, who's can't drive a quad bike apparently, but
Well, what I would say about Reuben Foster is if you put the tape on him in preseason, they were saying, you know, he's a great read and react run playing middle linebacker, which we kind of expected. But what's been really surprising and really pleasing from a 49ers perspective is his ability to deal with, you know, players running across his face in the passing game. And it's a real hallmark of this new Robert Saleh defense, which is another system we've had to learn, is the fact that for years, I mean, since the end of the Harbaugh days, the 49ers tackling has been dreadful. Like the amount of burst plays, you know, runs, you know, yards off the contact has been a real problem for this defense. And he is sort of instilling a culture of just stopping a player dead. As soon as they get the ball, it's just they're on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's been one of the highlights of the season so far. And in training, he's just been picking people off left, right and centre. So really excited to see him in the regular season.
Yeah, so elsewhere on the draft, who, as you mentioned, Kittle, who's come to the fore at the tight end. Any other draft picks have stood out, or undrafted signees have stood out?
Yeah, I mean, the undrafted free agents have been quite interesting. I mean, we should say before we go on that CJ Beathard is an interesting one, because when you draft a quarterback in the first four rounds, there's season be some expectation that you're going to start them at some point or give them a shot, particularly if you don't have a quarterback on your roster, and if you've got, you know, two guys that were at the Bears last year are starting in front of them. But CJ Befford's an interesting prospect, and he's not ready to start by any means yet. He's got a good arm, he's got good vision, and he seems to be the sort of perfect Shanahan player, and you can see he's already molding him. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if the 49ers get to a decent middling sort of record this year, if they don't trade back up and get a quarterback, they might just leave it for a little bit and sort of see how it goes and see where he fits. But as regards to undrafted free agents, the 49ers are suddenly like filled with running backs, and one of the guys that stood out is Victor Bolden Jr., who's probably not going to contribute too much in the running game, but is going to be a really impressive. He fits in the slot, and he also does quite a lot of work in special teams, and has already got a kick return touchdown in the preseason. So he's quite exciting. And then, yeah, running backs. I mean, the running backs have been really surprising, because, you know, there was a lot of talk early early in the season that, you know, Carlos Hyde might be cut or traded. And now I'm looking at the other guys that we brought in, because we brought in Tim Hightower, Joseph Williams, Capri Bibbs, and the two guys that I haven't been mentioned on their list, Matt Breda is an undrafted free agent, and Mostert Raheem, whose name I basically keep forgetting and have to write down in front of me, have just had really impressive preseasons. Like both of them, yards per carry, they've outshone everyone on the running back room. It's really impressive. So I can't see. I mean, I must admit, I think they'll keep Hyde, but I can't see Hightower staying the way we're going. And, you know, the other two haven't really seen anything impressive at all from them.
So with Carlos Hyde, is it just a change of scheme and he's not really fit with Shanahan? Or is it, as you mentioned, all the Joe Williams onto Utah just seems to be the perfect Shanahan running back? Is that, or is it just that Hyde has just fell off a bit?
I think early in the process, they weren't sure if he'd buy into the system. I think he's now done enough in that scheme to kind of save his bacon. But yeah. I mean, I'd be disappointed if we lost Carlos Hyde. He's been a really solid professional for us. You know, that team was terrible and he was still playing hard and, you know, getting hurt as a result. And I think that, you know, as long as he can prove he's fit and he's still committed, which he has done so far, I think they should give him a shot. But yeah, I mean, there is a suggestion that he's the wrong shape and the wrong size, but I think Shanahan will make him work.
Yeah. And obviously you did mention that we had changes on the defensive coaching staff, a scheme change, going from a 3-4 to the 4-3, kind of a Seahawks approach to it as well. Is that going to have a negative impact on your other your previous first round picks with the guys from Oregon, Buckner and Armstead, or is that something that they're going to benefit from?
I think they're bigger body guys that can kind of tuck inside if they need to. They're kind of athletic and powerful enough to play on the outside, and they're powerful enough and big enough to play in the middle. You don't get many sort of 6-7 on the end, and so maybe they're better suited in this scheme. I don't know. The whole thing's quite jarring to me, having spent 10 years watching us play the same system, and now all of a sudden we're back to 4-3, and I'm I keep getting confused when I look at the linebackers and just think someone's out of place. But it's starting to sort of fit in my head. But the biggest change for me has been offensively as well. We defensively we're solid, offensively the scheme. You realize what a genius Kyle Shanahan is. Every play sets up another one. So he'll run a stretch play, and then as a result, the defensive end will move over to that side, and then he'll turn it into, and the next time we'll do the same look, but do a play action bootleg, and it's wide open. And I always, it's incredible. Weapons on offense. Marquise Goodwin, granted, he's not going to be a headline player, and he's not going to be, pushing 2,000 yards at the end of the year. But he's he's a pacey player that can open the field. And Pierre Garçon's probably got one of the best set of hands in the league. So quietly optimistic on that, or very loudly optimistic, if you let me keep talking.
So yes, what is your 2017 prediction for the 49ers? Obviously, it wasn't, as you say, it probably was the bottom of the barrel last year. So.
I mean, it all depends on what sort of play you get from Brian Hoyer, who's done better than I expected when we picked him up, and has fitted very well in the scheme. If he has a good season, the ultimate best, maybe we get a winning season out of it. We get to 9-7, maybe 8-8. Probably the worst end of the scale. Not as far behind as I thought it would be. Maybe, 6-10, somewhere in that region.
Cool. Yeah, I said to Dave a few weeks ago, I think the 49ers could easily be number two in the AFC West by the time the season's finished. Us lot in Seattle, although on this podcast we do like to be a bit more realistic, a bit more critical than some other Seattle Seahawks fans are. We are, though, quite a confident bunch with a healthy Russell Wilson this year. Doug Baldwin continues to send up the wide receiver ranks around the league. And Jimmy Graham is back at 100%. And then the defense is what it was, just a little bit deeper. So what are your guys' thoughts on the Seahawks in 2017 without, obviously, the Seahawks pink specs I possibly am wearing? Tom?
Well, they're always a tough game. And they clearly, Arizona and Seattle are the two best teams in the NFC West. But, it's not hard given the competition.
Careful.
I think it'll be between them two for the division, really.
Yeah.
Be whoever wins the two games between them.
Yeah.
Wins the division.
Yeah. Dave?
Well, I would put you as a favourite for the division. Even if you have dropped off a bit, I'm not saying you have, you've still got the massive home field advantage that the other three teams in the West possess. So you've always got that to rely on to carry you through games that might have been closer on the road, for example.
Yeah.
So you've always got that. And you just haven't really lost anyone this year. So, you've lost Fant, is it, on your offensive line? So has he been replaced? Or?
Well, it looks like Reece Odhiambo, who played last week, and did all right against the Chiefs. That's a position which is basically just been.
Yeah, that might be an area of weakness that people might try and attack. But apart from that, I can't really think of any glaring holes that are on your roster.
No, and 2016 was a year where the injury bug did bite quite hard. Obviously, Thomas Cam Chancellor all missed time. Mark, thoughts on the 2017 Seahawks?
Well, you mentioned the injury bug there, and my concern is right with that offensive line and how you can keep Russell Wilson healthy for a whole season. He's already got a reputation of being, I think he's the most sacked quarterback in the league since he came into it. And sooner or later, that just continued battering is going to pay its cost. The weakest offensive line and the worst paid, or one of the worst paid, is the Seahawks at the moment.
Yeah,
I have concerns that if Russell Wilson goes down, that team would still win games, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if it will be the sort of contender, perennial contender it's been for so many years. I mean, I like Boykin, but is he going to win you sort of 10, 15 games?
No, there's a very real chance that Boykin is going to be beaten out by Austin Davis as a backup. Boykin last week threw 6 passes in the Chiefs game, not one of them to a Seahawks player, but one of them to a Chiefs player. So he really did open the door.
Solid starts.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Austin Davis front, though, I've seen him as a starter for the Rams. I mean, that's not saying much. He did show a little bit in the games that he started, so yeah. I wouldn't write him off if he did have to come in and in his relief to Wilson.
Yeah, the thing with Austin Davis is that we had him in for a visit on the same day we had Colin Kaepernick, and how we made the decision for Austin Davis over Colin Kaepernick is just dumbfound. I just don't get it.
If that's the case, if Wilson went down, would you like to make a move for Kat?
I would run to whatever part of Africa he's in at that point, doing charitable work and stuff. You'd obviously have to ask Spike Lee first, but I'd just go and get Colin Kaepernick. I'd have got Colin Kaepernick six to 8 weeks ago, which I can't believe I'm saying, but never mind.
I must admit, when you look at Kaepernick and the relationship that everybody has with him in the league, everyone kind of made him out to be some sort of poison in the 49ers changing rooms, and you look at the reaction afterwards, it's definitely not the case. I think if someone picks him up, they're going to be pleasantly surprised.
It was weird after they had him in, because Pete Carroll said it wasn't fit in the locker room. They seemed to hint that it was money while saying it wasn't money at the same time, but I just don't see. I mean, we give Austin Davis $800,000 for a year, and I just don't see how that couldn't have been better spent on Kaepernick, but we'll see what happens. I do think Russell Wilson staying upright and staying healthy and two legs, obviously the rest last season didn't have two legs, will play a big part. So I'll go around the horn again. Dave, the NFC West finishes in what order in 2017?
Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams, Niners.
Okay. How many games do you think spread through the four? So the Seahawks 16-0, obviously, Dave.
Right, okay. Someone's been taking something. you've always got the home field advantage, so say 12-4.
Okay.
Cardinals maybe 10-6. Go for the Rams at 6-10, like I said earlier, and the Niners 5-11.
Okay, Mark.
I don't know if I'm going to predict individual records, but I reckon there'll be probably no more than 5 games from top to bottom. I think it's going to be a close division this year.
Yeah.
But Seahawks, Cardinals, 49ers, Rams is my order.
Yeah. I do think the Niners will finish above the Rams, Dave.
I can see a pattern emerging here.
Tom?
Yeah, I've got Arizona at 11-5. Seattle at 11-5. I was going to take the division, obviously. I'm biased. I've got LA at 5-11 and San Francisco at 4-12.
Yeah, I've got the Seahawks winning the 11 games this year. I think they're going to lose next week in Lambeau Field. Spoiler alert for the pod next week. I think we'll lose next week. We always seem to lose one to the Rams, no matter who's playing at quarterback or coaching. I do agree with Mark, though. I think it might be a lot closer than it's been in the last couple of years in terms of the 4-team spread. I think then it'll be. I do think the 49ers could edge it, but I can't say at that point. So I'll probably just go Cardinals, Niners, Rams behind the Seahawks with 11 wins. But obviously, since 2008, 6 NFC title games have had an NFC West team in. 2008 was the Cardinals. 2012 and 13 was the 49ers. 2014, although it's 2013 season, saw two, obviously, in the NFC Championship game from the NFC West. 2015 saw the Seahawks again make it. And obviously then the year after, the Cardinals lost to the Panthers. How many, Tom, I'm guessing you see two, but how many do you see the NFC West sending two teams to the playoffs, Mark? Dave?
It's possible, but I wouldn't bank on it.
No.
I mean, you're going to be taking wind off each other. It's out of the Cardinals and Seahawks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you're going to be taking wind off each other, so that could hamper you. So.
Yeah. Mark?
I honestly don't think the division is that strong this year. In terms of long-term playoff hopes, I don't think we're going to have a team get into the championship game this year. So I think you're only going to have one that gets enough wins to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if the Seahawks do win it about 11-5, I think the NFC East are going to be up there, and you'd possibly expect the NFC South to produce the other wildcard team as well, with the Falcons and Panthers are probably can only be better, and the Buccaneers could surprise, and the Saints have Drew Brees. That division is loaded. So outside the NFC West, who do you see as the team to watch in the NFC? Is it a case of what have you done lately and the reigning champs being the top team, Dave?
It'll be interesting to see how the Falcons respond to the disappointment of how it ended last year. So I think they'll be the ones.
And they lost Shanahan, obviously, which could be a big, big thing.
Yeah, but they've got a lot of weapons, so I think they should still be strong next year. It's getting over the disappointment, though. It's whether that lingers into the season. That's if they start well, they could be a force.
Yeah. Mark, who do you see the NFC team to be?
In the NFC, I mean, there's three teams that jump to mind. Falcons, of course, you already mentioned. I don't know how they're going to recover without Shanahan, because I think he made a lot of that scheme work, and particularly made Matt Ryan work.
Yeah.
And then the Giants, because I'm interested to see how the pieces they added on offense managed to revive or kill off Eli Manning's career. The Buccaneers, just because that's a team that is on the rise and added, you know, DeSean Jackson, who's going to make any offense better.
Yeah, they are the team who have the biggest questions to ask for an NFC champ team like that. I think for me it's going to be the Packers. They've added Martellus Bennett into the tight end room. So that offense is just somewhat ludicrous with Aaron Rodgers. The running game is clearly really be better for the Packers, and the defense looks a bit deeper as well. So I think the NFC will go for Green Bay this year, I think. Bringing back to NFC West quickly, though, before we finish up, who is one player from your team who no one really knows outside of your team's fandom that they possibly will do by the end of the season in fantasy or in literal real football terms? Dave?
You guys obviously know a lot about him, but Cooper Kupp, I'm expecting big things from the rookie.
Yeah, he's someone I was going to track the last couple of years when he was coming up through the draft process, playing college in Washington State. So yeah, it's quite annoying you've got him in that system. Tom, who's the one Cardinal to keep an eye out for that we possibly haven't heard much of as of yet?
Josh Morrow, the St. Yeah. Albans-born defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might have a big season.
Yes, it's Stanford, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at Stanford.
Yeah.
Then he went to Pittsburgh, and then we signed him off their practice squad.
Yeah. Mark?
I mean, apart from the rookie undrafted free agents I mentioned earlier, probably one that's been on the roster for a while, Rashad Robinson. He's starting to show sort of that ability to be a lockdown corner. He's got a little bit of a way to go on that front, but he's going to be an explosive cornerback at some point.
Yeah, I think for the Seahawks, I think Chris Carson is going to end the preseason as running back one, with all the question marks over how the longevity and health of prosize Thomas Rawls. And he just looks the part through the first few weeks of the offseason and obviously preseason. Massive thanks for all three of you guys for coming on the Pedestrian Podcast. If people want to goad you for some of what you've said over the last 40 minutes or so, where can they go on social media to find you, Tom?
At British Bird Gang, and also on Facebook. .com/BritishBirdGang.
Cool. I'm guessing you'll be at Twickenham in October. I'm guessing, yeah.
Yep, definitely be
there. Yeah. Mark, obviously, Pigskin Podcast is all over Podbean and all the rest. Where can people find you?
We're basically cornered the market in terms of social media. See, we've got Facebook, which is Pigskin Podcast UK, on Twitter, so it's Pigskin Podcast, on Instagram we're Project Pigskin, and of course you can go to our website, pigskinpodcast.com, where people write lovely articles for us as well.
Cool. And obviously a big support of the NFL UK, Mark, the last couple of years, which I run somewhat haphazardly at times. Dave, do you have much presence on social media?
There's not really much point because there's not many of us Rams fans here.
there's really not.
no presence.
It took 6 weeks, and all I had to do was scroll down to D in my phone book. That's all brilliant. I had to do to find a Rams
just
fan.
Around the corner.
But massive thanks to all the guys. This has been the Pedestrian Podcast. If you want to catch us, we are on Podbean and iTunes, also on Facebook, the Pedestrian Podcast, and the Seattle Seahawks Fans UK on Twitter at Seahawkers UK. Obviously, if you want to catch our last week's episode where we spoke to Eastern Mississippi defensive line coach, one of the stars of the second series of Last Chance U, coach DeVern Williams. Really, really fun chat. We were quite proud of the result of it. That is all up on all those memes. But until next time, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast, and go Hawks!
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 48 champions.